John chapter 8, we are wrapping up John chapter 8 this evening. Let's pick it up here, verses 52 through 59. We're going to really be focused on 56 through 59, but to get the context here, let's start in verse 52. So, Chris, Jennifer probably doesn't work very well for me to read. So Chris, can you start and just everybody take a verse, John 8, 52, so we get through verse 59. That'd be great.
The Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, and the prophets also. And you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste of death.
Surely you are not greater than our father Abraham who died. The prophets died too. Whom do you make yourself out to be?"
Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, he is our God.
And you have not come to know him, but I know him. And if I say that I do not know him, I will be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word.
Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad."
Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am."
Julie, do you want to get verse 59? Okay. So, just kind of got a running start here. Like I said, we're going to key in on verses 56 through 59. Before we launch into this, what jumps out at you guys? Anything? The last part of this chapter? Anything? If you were to do a quick read through this, what hit you? Caleb?
Just that Jesus had the confidence to say, "Before Abraham was born, I am," because that was a big deal.
That was a really big deal. Then we're gonna talk about that a lot tonight, actually. Jesus says, "Before Abraham was born, I am." Rich.
He's really starting to call him out. He's not dancing around. He's just come right out and said, "You guys are liars."
Yep. Yeah, if I say I don't know him, I'm going to be a liar just like you. You know, you better know you're right when you're going to talk to somebody that way. But, you know, when's the last time you had a conversation with somebody that you just flat out said, if I said that, I'd be a liar like you? Jesus didn't pull any punches. Of course, we've been leading into this. We know he was full of love and compassion. But love and compassion tells the truth and gives people, you know, tells people where they stand before God. And the reality of it is, you don't do anybody any favors by patting them on the back on their way to hell. It's just the truth. Anything else? There's a couple big ones, Emily.
As far as I am, does he mean like Moses, like when God said, "I am"? Because the AM isn't capitalized, so it wasn't quite sure.
So we're going to spend quite a bit of time on that tonight. That's going to be the focus of our study tonight. But I am. Emily makes the point that when Jesus says, "Before Abraham was born, I am," and you notice here, it's just capital I and then little am, just like that. And that can mean different things. In Greek, it's ego eimi, which just means I am. So when Jesus would say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," it starts off with ego eimi, da 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 da. So, but there is something particular that Jesus is driving at, and I wish, Emily, that they would capitalize this, because that's his point. So let's dig into that a little bit here. Let's talk about Abraham first, because, you know, this whole conversation starts out because they're saying, "You're not greater than our father Abraham, are you? Who do you make yourself out to be? Abraham died. Who do you think you are?" That's where this conversation started from. And so let's talk a little bit about Abraham, because Jesus comes back and he says, "Your father Abraham, he rejoiced to see my day. he saw it and was glad. That should trip anybody's trigger a little bit. Let's see how well you guys know your Bible history. How many years was Abraham before this? Let me ask you an easier question first. Well, maybe. when was King David approximately? Think about the Psalms. How many years were the Psalms written before the Christ? Let's just work our way backwards here. Somebody said it right? About 1,000 years. So King David was about 1,000 BC. Let's go back to the next one before him, Moses. How long was Moses before Christ? We can make this rough estimate. Moses was about 1,500. It would have been 1,400 and something. Okay? Let's. Abraham's before Moses by quite a bit, right? Let's go back to Abraham. How far is Abraham before Christ? About 2,000 years. So what is Jesus talking about? Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. Like, Abraham was looking forward to seeing me. Abraham wanted to meet me. He saw me and he was thrilled about it. What are you talking about? That's what this discussion is about. So, let's actually, before we go back, I want to read a little bit from Genesis just to make sure we're all caught up. But before we do that, let's go to Romans chapter 4 really quickly here. And, guys, even bigger picture than this, I get a little amped up about this kind of stuff because the Bible is amazing. The Bible is about Jesus. The way that Revelation 19:10 says it, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. In the book of Revelation, it's talking about Jesus. It says his name has been called the Word of God. The Bible is about Jesus. And there are things, when you slow down, think about what's being said. It just, like, blows your mind. It just opens up spiritually to an understanding of who God is and who Jesus is. And this is one of those. I know a lot of us probably, we already kind of got this, but some of us don't. And even if we got it again, hopefully it's a reminder to you and you just are like, if Abraham was thrilled to get to see Jesus, even with the limited understanding of who he was, how thrilled should we be to get to see Jesus and get a full grasp of who he is? This is what we get to do tonight. So, I think it's super fun. Romans chapter 4. I just want to read one verse here, verse 18. And I'm going to read that because I don't remember where we are in our circle here. Actually, Anne, if you feel comfortable reading, you want to get Romans chapter... Sure. I'm trying to find my eyeballs here. Hey, my bifocals are ordered, Ricky. I see you laughing at me. It will happen someday to you. Now, Romans 4, verse 18.
In hope against hope, he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been... So shall your descendants be.
Okay. Abraham was the father of the faithful. And the way this verse says it, in hope against hope, he believed. What was his hope? What was it that he was hanging on to and believing in and looking forward to? Well, initially, guys, what he was looking forward to was that he was going to actually be a father, right? He was going to have a descendant. Let's actually go back to Genesis chapter 17. My guess, guys, is that most of us are very familiar with this. But there are some things you just don't get a full grasp of unless you go back and read it again. You know, and I think what Jesus is talking about here is so amazing and powerful that it is worth a little review. So I'm going to speed read this a little bit. Genesis 17, beginning in verse 1. It says, "Now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, 'I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly.' And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, 'As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I will make you the father of a multitude of nations.'" I want to pause for a second. So we know, we're going to see, Abraham was excited about the fact that he's going to be the father of a son who comes from him and Sarah. But ultimately, Abraham's hope, when we read that in Romans chapter 4, and what's referred to, is he's going to be the father of a multitude of nations. That's the real big hope. It wasn't going to be just Isaac. It's going to be what came through Isaac. Okay? Through Isaac your descendants should be called. Alright, verse 6. "And I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come forth from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you, throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your descendants after you. And I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. God said further to Abraham, 'Now as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep. Between me and you and your descendants after you, every male among you shall be circumcised. And you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be the sign of the covenant between me and you. And every male among you who is 8 days old shall be circumcised throughout your generations. A servant who is born in the house or is bought with money from any foreigner who is not of your descendants. A servant who is born in your house or is bought with your money shall surely be circumcised. Thus shall my covenant be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. But an uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant.' Then God said to Abraham, 'As for Sarai your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be your name. And I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall come from her.' Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, 'Will a child be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?' And Abraham said to God, 'Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee.' But God said, 'No, but Sarah your wife shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I will bless him, will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall become the father of 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you at this season next year.' And when he had finished talking with him, God went up from Abraham." So, Genesis 17, verse 1. Who was it that appeared to Abraham? Anybody? The Lord. I want you to notice something here. Okay? Most of us know this, but I'm going to... This is the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. You got that? This is Yahweh. We're going to talk about him tonight. When Emily said his name, I am. Okay? This is what we're going to be talking about. This is Yahweh. This is not just Adonai. Okay? This isn't just Master. This is God, eternal. Okay? We'll talk about that more. So that's who's talking to Abraham. Everybody catch that? Okay. Now, they have this conversation. At this time next year, Sarah's going to have a son, right? Now we get to Genesis 18. Now before we read Genesis 18, you guys got to understand something. Has anybody ever read Genesis chapters 1 and 2 together? Has anybody ever had somebody argue with you that Genesis 1 is one account and Genesis 2 is contradictory to Genesis chapter 1. I know it's probably been a while since you've read that. Okay, Genesis 1 talks about the creation in general, and it ends with the creation of man and woman in God's image. Okay, chapter 2 comes back and it breaks down and it tells you that God put Adam into the deep sleep and took from his rib and made Eve. Okay, a lot of people think this is two different accounts and people get all sorts of weird theories like there was somebody else before Eve. And no, it's the same account. Genesis chapter 1 is general description. Genesis 2 is a specific, it's focusing in specifically on the creation of Adam and Eve, the creation of man. Okay? Genesis 17 and 18, this is the same scenario, same sort of thing. Genesis 17 is Yahweh appears to Abram, has this discussion, tells him he's going to be called Abraham. Tells him at this time next year, your wife Sarah is going to have a son. Now Genesis 18 is going to give us some particulars of how this came about. Okay? So let's read Genesis 18. A pretty lengthy section again. I'm just going to read verses 1 through 15. Okay? Notice chapter 18, verse 1. Now the Lord, that's Yahweh, appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre while he was sitting at the tent door in the heat of the day. Guys, this is how this discussion came about. The one we just read in 17. Okay? He's going to break down and give you the particulars of how this went down. So, verse 2, when he lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, three men were standing opposite him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth. We're not going to read all of 18, but let me ask you, there's three men here. Two of these men later go somewhere. Does anybody remember where two of these men go after this discussion? Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay, they go into Sodom. How are these men described later? As angels, right? There's three men. Two of them are angels who go on into Sodom. Okay? So that should get your mind thinking already. Who are these three guys? Okay. Where am I at here? Verse 3. Thank you. 18, verse 3. And said, my Lord, if now I've found favor in your sight, please do not pass your servant by. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will bring a piece of bread that you may refresh yourselves. After that you may go on, since you have visited your servant. And they said, so do as you have said. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, quickly prepare 3 measures of fine flour and knead it and make bread cakes. Abraham also ran to the herd and took a tender and choice calf and gave it to the servant, and he hurried to prepare it. He took curds and milk and the calf which he had prepared and placed it before them, and he was standing by them under the tree as they ate. Then they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will surely return to you at this time next year. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. Sarah was past childbearing. And Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I have become old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord, this is Yahweh, in verse 13, said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Saying, shall I indeed bear a child when I am so old? Is anything too difficult for Yahweh? At the appointed time I'll return to you at this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. Sarah denied it, however, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. Do you guys see the overlap in terms of the time? It's the same thing. Just we're getting more particulars here in chapter 18. So this begs the question. Okay, two of these guys go on, and they're angels. Another stays there and continues to have a conversation with Abraham about how many righteous people in the city, etc. And it's Yahweh who's having the conversation with Abraham. Yeah. But guys, this, for us, on this side of Jesus, this isn't that shocking of a thing to think about, because we understand what we call the incarnation, God becoming flesh. But this is earth-shattering, first of all, for Abraham and anybody who would understand what happened here. This is what Jesus is talking about. these guys lead him right into it. You're not greater than our father Abraham, are you? Jesus said, your father Abraham, he rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. This was Yahweh God who shows up in human form to talk to Abraham. Yes, Caleb.
Well, I just have a question. So you're saying that the account in 17 is the same thing as in 18?
I think so.
So in verse 17 and 17, when it says that Abraham fell on his face and laughed?
Yeah.
So both of them?
Both of them ended up laughing. Yeah. Isn't that interesting? Okay, 18 is, you get Sarah, and that's the one you always think about. But you know what Isaac's name means? Anybody know what Isaac's name means? Ricky knows?
Laughter.
Yeah, laughter. No, they, guys, both of them got great joy from them. This, didn't they? They laughed. They were joyful after he was born. But it's also interesting that both of them laughed when God promised they were going to have this son this time next year. God's cool like that. He reminds you, you doubted me and laughed, but also the joy of having Isaac. So,
why do you think he specifically called Sarah out in chapter 13?
My guess, Caleb, just knowing the way that I deal with situations, is Sarah probably had a little attitude.
Okay.
That would be my guess. And she tries to deny it and everything too, and
yeah.
Secretively behind the tent, and she, you know. So, you know, Abraham kind of does it up in the open.
Yeah.
That can be dealt with, but sometimes men trying to deny it. No, you laughed.
Also, not only is he laughing in the open, he's laughing as he's bowing to him.
Yeah, he's carrying on the conversation, and he is still in reverence, even though he's
laughing.
Talia, you don't know anything about that, do you? Okay. Sometimes you're laughing even when you're respecting your dad. You just can't. Anyways, okay. But that's a good attitude. That's different than the rebellious, unbelief, total laugh, like sort of. So I think, Caleb, that's my opinion on that. Bible doesn't give us all the information. So bottom line, what I want you to notice is. When these guys are saying, surely you're not greater than our father Abraham. Hey, who was greater in Genesis 17 and 18? The one who's promising you're going to have a son is clearly greater. Abraham's bowing. Okay. Yes, Jesus is greater than Abraham. And so, you know, this is a big deal. This is they're starting to get this message. And so they said, well, before I do that, I'm going to ask you guys one other question. We don't have time tonight to look at this. But can anybody think of one other time that Abraham would have rejoiced to see Jesus? He saw him and was glad. Tyler, I heard you. Melchizedek. Excellent job. That's right. Okay? So just go back a couple chapters. And it's really cool too. I mean, just, hey, God put these in there, guys, for us looking back to just say, wow, what an amazing God. He showed up in the flesh before Jesus was ever born. There's even this awesome prophecy from Micah chapter 5 about Jesus' birth. And one of the things it says, he's going to be born in Bethlehem, right? But one of the things it says is his goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. So he's going to be born in Bethlehem. He's already showed up. So Jesus is referring back to this. And these guys are getting it. They're saying, what? You're not even 50 years old? Jesus was like 30. So Abraham's 2,000 years ago? You're not even 50 years old? And have you seen Abraham? Cuckoo. That's what they're saying. They're saying, you crazy. You might even be saying cray cray. Is that what crazy means? I learned some cool stuff in Bible studies. Cray cray. Yeah. So anyways, you know, the question, is that what that means? Crazy? Okay,
yeah.
Thank you. He finishes the discussion by saying, hey, is anything too difficult for Yahweh? No. nothing is too difficult for the Lord. So we can think about it, guys, all sorts of cool Old Testament stuff. Let's just hit one, and then we're going to come back and kind of touch on I Am and wrap this up. Go to Isaiah chapter 9. One of my favorites. It's interesting, actually. Isaiah 9, as amazing as this prophecy is, it's actually never quoted in the New Testament. But it's in there for us to use. Isaiah 9, verse 6. Rich, you like this one. I'm going to let you read this, okay? One of your favorites. Isaiah 9, verse 6.
For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace.
I'm sure you have. Have you ever stopped and actually slowed down and thought about what is this saying? His name shall be called. In other words, this is indicative of who he is. Remember, just a freebie, by the way, guys. What did the angel tell Joseph to name their son? Joseph and Mary? Should call his name what? What'd the angel say? Jesus. But when Matthew talks about that, Raj, he quotes from Isaiah 7. And says Emmanuel. Right? Have you ever thought, are Emmanuel and Jesus the same name? I know some people named Emmanuel, and I know some people named Jesus, and it's not the same name. So people,
wow.
Who was right? Understand, in prophecy here from the book of Isaiah, when he says his name shall be, his name isn't Wonderful, or Wonderful Counselor, if you want to call it that one. Put them together or keep them separate. Depends if you're King James, New American Standard. I don't care. Points there. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Is that his name? This is who he is, right? This is a descriptive title of who Jesus is. Is Emmanuel his name? No, Jesus is his name, but Emmanuel is a descriptive title of who he is. God with us. Does that make sense? So that's just in there for free because you're going to come across that question sometime. Okay? But so here we go. Let's take this backwards. Prince of Peace. Anybody who claims to be a Christian agrees Jesus is Prince of Peace, right? Ephesians chapter 2, this is the one who's going to come and bring peace. Peace to the Jews and the Gentiles, bring them together as one new man, etc. No question there. Okay? Jehovah's Witnesses, those who call themselves that, would agree Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Okay? How about Mighty God? I think even Jehovah's Witnesses could say, yeah, he is a part of this. They would say he's a God. I don't know if you quite go to Mighty God out of that. But it says he's Mighty God. Elohim. Some of you have been hearing Mr. Simpson talk about Elohim, Yahweh, in his Sunday school class. Jesus is Elohim, okay? But he doesn't stop there and say, Prince of Peace, Mighty God. He also says he's the Eternal Father. Now that one should make your brains blow up. But the scripture is really careful. Like, this is the Word of God. This is precisely put. A child will be born. Was a child born? But it didn't say a son will be born. A child will be born. A son will be given. The son who's given, his name is also Eternal Father. Oh, and for free, guys? Counselor. Who would be the counselor? Come on. The Spirit. The helper, right? Counselor, the comforter, King James would say. He's our counselor. He's the one, the paracletos, the one called alongside to help. Oh, this, Jesus made these claims. Just read John 14 through 16. You're going to see all of these things. Jesus making that point. That's who I am. But tonight we're going to just wrap up here by keying in on Eternal Father, the great I Am. So, go back to John 8. I know I've been throwing a ton of stuff. Are you guys getting it?
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody else find this stuff cool?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, your eyes open up to who Jesus is. Back to Johnny. So, let's just read 56 through 59 again. Stace, are you there? You want to do 56 through 59 again?
You could do all the way through
59? Yep, that'd be great.
For Father Abraham, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am." Therefore, he picked up the stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple.
Okay. So, Jesus said to them, when they said, "Have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am." Yes, Kip.
Well, I was just going to say, even before we read this, when he said eternal father, the only way he's claiming to be eternal father is if he's claiming that he's the one who created all of them. Because if you're going to be the father of everybody, that means you created all of them. And that's kind of the same thing here.
Exactly.
But they're not getting it.
They're not getting it. And in Isaiah 9, these guys missed it. You can tell. Back in John chapter 7, they're like, "Search the scriptures and see that no prophet arises out of Galilee." Have you read Isaiah 9 lately? Anyways, they missed it. Okay, but the point, Caleb is right. No, let's not capitalize "I am" yet, and let's just talk about the claim. Jesus would say, "Before Abraham was born." So 2,000 years ago, before Abraham was born, let's just say Jesus is saying, "I existed." That in and of itself is pretty shocking, isn't it? But Jesus didn't just say, "I existed." He said, "I am." Now, if you wonder what Jesus, if these guys got what he meant by that, what's the next thing they did? Let's have a little rock party. They picked up stones. So what's this talking about? Let's go back to Exodus chapter 3. So, can I ask you guys, I want to get your brains going a little tonight. I know I've thrown a lot out here, but who compiled, where did we get Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy from? Moses. Now, think about this for a second, okay? Under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Moses went back and he gave the account of what happened here, okay? Now, in Exodus chapter 3, verse 13, I want to do 13 through 15. Raj, can you read that? Exodus 3, 13 through 15.
And Moses said to God, "Behold, I am going to the sons of Israel. And I shall say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what is your name? What shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you." God, furthermore, said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, have sent me to you. And this is my name forever, and this is my memorial name to all generations."
Okay. Because this is the first time that we find out God's name. Who? What's his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, "I am who I am." This is just a different form of Yahweh. Okay? I am who I am. And then God tells Moses, this is the name that I'm going to be remembered by forever. Okay? Yahweh means, when we say Yahweh, it's He is. So I am is God saying it. I am. Past, present, future. I am. Eternal. I am. No, Abraham didn't know his name was Yahweh. But when Moses recorded that back in Genesis 17 and 18, he let us know it was Yahweh talking to him. Because the name Yahweh is in there back there. And you're saying, well, Genesis 17, long before this. Yeah, because Moses went back and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he tells you who that was. And now Jesus is making this claim, I am. Jesus is saying, I and the Father are one. I am an appearance right now, standing for... Remember reading all this up to this in John chapter 8? You know, somewhere we have Abraham for our father. Jesus says, if Abraham was your father, do the deeds of Abraham. We're not born of fornication. We have one Father, God. And Jesus is saying, I am standing right in front of you. I am. And you guys are going to try to kill God, who you say is your Father? This is hitting them full force. They understand his claims. Now, God, we know this. We know who Jesus is. But I hope we get the significance of it. It is so fun when you get to start with somebody and they start trying to think about who Jesus is. And you know, our world tries to make Jesus just this, you know, my dad says, this guy who tiptoes through the tulips. You know, the guy who would never hurt anybody, the peace loving, you know, sandal flopping, long haired, you know, little bit of hippie style, peace out man, you know, sort of guy. But Jesus' own words, you could never ever do that with. And anybody who's going to come to know Jesus, who Jesus is, has to think through this. And we have three choices when it comes to Jesus. The guy is either absolutely nuts. You know some nut cases. Either Jesus is one of these guys, right? Or he's just a liar trying to shoot the moon here. Or he is Lord. He is Yahweh. Those are your three choices. There is nothing more important in the world than that you or anybody else could ever figure out. Is he? Now, just for the fun of it, for us as Christians, because we've come to the conclusion that yes, he is. Book of Revelation, where it talks about Jesus. You've thought about this. The Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, right? That talks about God the Father being that. Also talks about Jesus being that. But how about this? The one who is, who was, and who is to come. Who is that? That's Jesus. That's Yahweh. That's who we confess. When we confess Jesus as Lord, we bow down before him. And hopefully when we laugh because of the joy of knowing who he is. So, hopefully you guys enjoyed that tonight. I did. It's just fun for me. I'm thankful for the scriptures that open your eyes. Wow. And his spirit lives in us. Any questions or comments for closing?
Yeah, I comment. I guess something that sticks out is a little warning symbol that comes from these people that had Jesus right in front of them, but they didn't know it was him. And I've heard people say before, if you saw Jesus face to face, would you know him? And they had the information in front of them. They could have known.
Yep.
So that's a warning to us that we have the information in front of us. That we're prepared to see Jesus face to face.
Amen. Amen. Matter of fact, the scripture would really support you on that too and say, you know, that There's two passages I'm trying to mix together from 1 John and Hebrews. But basically, it's not appeared as yet what we shall be, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. So the part of the process of purification is looking forward to that return of Christ and expecting to see Him. And then Hebrews chapter 12. Maybe I'm flipping something else around. But yeah, basically, Raj, we better be seeing Him now and understanding. Come, and that's what I love about like the Gospel of John. Because every one of us, it's like you're there. If you want to be there, you're there in this discussion. Like tonight, could you see it? Could you see Jesus saying this and hear Him saying it and come face to face with Him? And who is He? I was there. I don't know how you guys work because I read it, but I was there in Genesis, Abraham before Him, and you know, bowing down. Oh, hey, these three guys, and then figuring out a little bit who they are. Yeah, I'll kill the calf. I'll give you all the stuff. And now here, you're right, Raj. We get the opportunity. How do we respond? So we're running a little late, Raj. Could you close us with a quick word of prayer, buddy? Remember to pray, guys, for the requests on the board too. Sweet.
Lord, we just come before You this evening and just pray that You search us and You know us. If there's anything lacking in us, You would bring that to service, Lord, so that we are prepared in that time when we see You face to face. But we're also prepared here on earth to make a stand for You. I pray that out to our ways this week, we do stand firm for You. Pray this all in Your Son's name.
Amen. Amen.